ushers would come. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful this morning for the blessings that you have given us and the privilege that we have to be in your house, and that we've got this comfortable place to come to worship you. And we've come this morning, dear God, and in your name, and we're asking, Lord, that you would just bless us with your presence here today. Pray that the Holy Spirit would be here in a mighty way. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. Bless this offering, dear God, and those that have to give, help us to give, dear God, and those that don't have to give, we pray that you would bless them tremendously and help them, Lord, in their everyday walk with you. Bless this offering and bless us for being here today. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Beautiful song. Beautiful song. Because of that one, that's what we're doing this morning. Because of that one. Beautiful song. Great job. Great job. All right. Donnie, would you stand and pray for Pastor Aaron as he brings the message this morning?
Truly, it is a privilege for us to be here today, and a special day as we come together to participate in the communion with each other. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Leviticus, just for a thought for today. Anyone else feel a need to stand and praise the Lord or share something you'd like to testify with this morning? Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. Chapter 17 and verse 11. The two elements that we share this morning, one represents the blood and one represents the body. And I've often, you know, I've done some study on the blood. I'm not a physician, but I know that as far as the body goes, the blood is one of the most important things in our body. Anybody tell me what the two primary purposes or what the two primary things the blood does? Carries oxygen, so it's feeding your body. And what does it do on the return? Carries all the waste back. So this particular scripture, and I want you to think about the blood this morning, because it is, you know, very important. And this is what is said in Leviticus in chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. So without the blood, I want you to think about the blood two ways today. I want you to think about it physically, and I want you to think about it spiritually. For the life of the blood, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, the physical blood that goes through our bodies. Anybody know how much blood's in our bodies? Just enough. I want to ask you something. I read this article yesterday, and I don't spend a lot of time in the paper, but anybody read this article about the scout? Some of you have read it. Most of you haven't. This boy on your right received a special award, and I know the scouts always, I think their main goal is to become a what? Eagle Scout. And that's the ultimate for a scout. These two boys are a little bit older now. I think they're 15 or 16 now, but when this particular story took place, they were 13. But I thought, as it talked about it, and it said they were camping, and one of them had gone outside, and when he shut the door, it just slammed and was so shut that he couldn't get it back open. So he started pushing on it to get it to go open, and the door actually had glass in it. And so he pushed so hard that his arm went through, and of course it severed an artery, and And this, the other boy that was with him, he began to go into his first aid saving mode as a Boy Scout. And anytime there's a lot of blood, what's the primary thing that you try to do? Get the bleeding stopped somehow. And I think he'd found some wire or something and made a tourniquet and was able to get the bleeding stopped and was looking for towels, and the towels was just soaked with blood because he'd lost so much blood. But it took about 20 minutes for the EMT to arrive, and the ambulance got there, and finally when they started talking to this boy, they said, "Are you an EMT?" And he said, "No, I'm just a Boy Scout. And I was using my first aid that they had taught us." And he said, "Well, son, you saved his life, because he got the bleeding stopped and they were able to get him taken to the hospital later." But I thought, the blood is so important to the body. And the loss of a lot of blood can cause what? It'll cause death, because the body has to have that blood. But I thought of that story, and I thought as I was reading this, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. So if that blood had, if he had continued to bleed, he would not be with us today. But they're good friends, and I think they both attend Capitol High School. But I thought, and today, or this week, they're having a jamboree. All the scouts, you've read those stories and seen where those boys, but I thought, the things that they're learning are so important in life, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. We need to realize that without our physical blood in our bodies, we would not be able to live. I thought as I was preparing for this, I began to think about the importance of the blood physically. And you say, where does communion start from? Where does it come from? And of course, we know in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, there was a command that went out to the children of Israel. And the life of the body was in the blood. You say, what do you mean by that? According to the scriptures, Moses was commanded to tell his people to go out and get a lamb. And that lamb was to be what? Perfect, as close as you could get a lamb to be perfect. Spotless, I believe the scripture says, spotless. So they were to kill the lamb, they were going to eat the lamb. But the main thing about it was what they did with the blood. And the scripture says they were required to put the blood. They took a hyssop bush and dipped it in the blood and painted the doorpost and the lintel overhead. And I thought the life of those Israelite children were dependent upon the blood. And according to the Word of God, all of the plagues had taken place, and Pharaoh would not let the children of Israel go. But this particular one was going to hit home. And the reason being is, every door, every house in Egypt that was covered by the blood, they would be spared. Otherwise, their oldest child would die. And so here they spread the blood. And if you'll remember what it was told them, as the death angel come by, what was the key thing that they said? "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." So you see, in this particular instance, the blood was so important. The life of their children was in the blood. Now, those that had the blood applied, when the death angel came by, he passed by and went on his way. And then they began to celebrate and recognize this as the Passover. Of course, the death angel passing over, that's where we get the Passover from. And as we look through the scripture, I thought in 1 John 1 and 7 it says, "But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another." You know, communion is fellowship. It's coming together. It's not coming together to eat a big meal. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But it goes on to say, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness." Now, this Passover, there was another feast that was going on at this time. It was called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Unleavened bread means the bread does not have what? Yeast. It doesn't have any bacteria or anything in it that causes it. You know, what does leaven symbolize as far as we're concerned? What do you think the leaven would symbolize? Sin. It would symbolize sin in our life. And when that feast of the unleavened bread took place, what they would do is they would go 7 days without any leaven. They would clean the house of leaven. They wouldn't allow any leaven in the house. And then on the 7th day, you know, they would partake of the unleavened bread. Anybody in here ever tasted unleavened bread? What's it like? Huh? Debbie says it's nasty. Like eating paper. We were talking in class, and it came up, and they didn't even know I was going to be on this, but they brought it up about a wedding that we had here a few years ago, and the bride had actually made unleavened to partake of in her wedding, and when they forgot to try to break it up before they got started, and when she broke it off, it was a big chunk about like that, and it was hard, and it was kind of tough for her to try to eat, so... I thought, you know, this morning we've had a lot of leaven from the outside. Who is it that causes leaven in our life? Satan does. He does anything he can to mess things up. You know what? In our Christian life, he'll do anything he can to let a little leaven in your life. That'd be a good song, wouldn't it? Keep a leaven out of your life, or don't let a little leaven get in your life. But I thought, you know, the sin that creeps into our life, how does sin and things that we do unintentionally, how do they creep into our lives? Is it like dropping a big ball on you? What happens when sin comes into our lives? Comes in just a little leaven at a time. A little sin will slip in at a time. And then, you know, I thought one of the things that, you know, the devil will talk us out of doing a lot of times is come to church. And he'll get you. And I've experienced this personally over the past 8 months, 6, 7 months. I've missed more church in that period of time than I have in my whole life. And, you know, after a while, he would say, "Well, you haven't been there for such a while. You might as well just stay home." He tried to talk me out of going on. He was trying to talk me out of, "It's time for you to sit down and quit." See, when you get alone like that, he'll just start whispering in your ear and telling you all kinds of junk. But I thought, you know, the more you do it, the easier it gets. And if you stop coming and it becomes I can't say a bad habit, but it's not a good habit. How's that? It'd be a bad habit, wouldn't it? But when you miss this fellowship, it's hard for us to go on individually. And it's important for us to realize that we need each other. And communion, the word communion comes from community. It comes from having something in like manner, or coming together in likeness and wanting to share something together. But But I thought, you know, we were talking about the blood and the importance of it physically. The life is in the blood. But I want you to think, those children of Israel, without the blood, they would have lost their oldest child. They would have lost him right there. But because of the blood, they were able to be spared. Now, the blood that we're talking about today, and we often forget about how important blood is, you know, physically. But we should never forget about how important the blood is spiritually. Now you say, you know, back to the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what did God provide? He provided a sacrifice. You say, in what manner? He gave him a cloak. He gave him a coat, and that animal had to be killed. And then through the Old Testament, we read about the offerings, the sacrifices that are made, and how important they were. But they were only good for a year. But there was one that came and gave his life. And it's important for us to realize, I believe it's Hebrews that makes the statement, without the shedding of blood, there's what?
No remission.
No remission of sin. So you see, not only is the blood important in our physical bodies, it's even more important in our spiritual lives. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without us believing that Jesus shed his blood, there is no remission. Without us believing that Jesus was buried and was resurrected, there is no remission of our sins. But because of that shedding of blood, because of him giving his life, you say, without the shedding of blood, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now I'm going to add something to that. For the life of the Spirit is in the blood. Had there not been the shedding of blood of Christ, had him not gone through what he went through for us, we wouldn't be here today. You say, where would we be? I guess we'd still be searching. We'd still be looking for someone to come our way to help us. And I thought as he hung on the cross, and as Christianity looks to that blood to save us from our sins, the song says this: what can wash away my sins? And what's the reply? Nothing but the blood. There's another song that says, there is blank in the blood. Power. You say, what kind of power? It's a power that we can't describe because it comes from our Heavenly Father. We've talked about that before. Those of you that have sons or daughters, would you give your son or daughter's life for somebody else? It would be very hard, wouldn't it? I couldn't, I don't think. But God was willing to do that for us. And that's why we come today here to talk about communion. If you go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the church at Corinth started taking communion pretty lightly. Now, back then, their churches usually met where? Early church. Where did they meet at? People's homes. They didn't have sanctuaries. They didn't have places to gather together so they could share or whatever. But it got to the point where they were fixing meals for communion. And I've heard today that there are churches that have hamburgers and French fries, I guess, for communion. And I don't know, I assume probably Coke for for the to represent the blood, but I thought about that, and the scripture plainly says, you don't come together to be eaten, You come together to remember, what Christ has done for us. And I thought often when we take the communion, you know, I think it's important for us to look at it. You say, I know we break the bread and we drink the drink, drink all of it, but I think it's important to take a look at it and to realize what it means. It's the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Christ. And again, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood. It's not in that juice. It's not in that wafer. But it's His body. And it's His blood that was shed for us. So, I want us to stop this morning. I want us to forget about what we're going to do after church. I want us to forget about what we're going to do this week. And I want you to really think, what am I holding in my hand? And what's this service all about? Christ made the statement when His Last Supper was over. And see, it wasn't by chance that He did this at Passover. He gathered them together to have their Passover meal. This was His last Passover with them. His last meal with them was when... How many were there? Can anybody tell me? How many were at that last Passover supper? There were 13. Jesus and His 12 disciples. But one disciple left the room, didn't he? Because he was going to betray Christ, and that was Judas. But I thought as they were gathered together there, He had told them to go find a place. So they went, they found a place, and they got in the upper room, and they gathered together. And at the end, when He had finished, He said, this is the last time that I'll be able to share this fruit of the vine with you. Until when? When I share it again with you in heaven. This is a meal that Christ shared with His disciples as their last meal together. Or the last meal, the last Passover meal together. He later met with them when they were fishing and shared a meal with them. But I thought, you know, the greatest thing about this is God gave His Son for us. We didn't have to do a thing. Salvation doesn't come by us. It comes through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is how it gets to us. The importance of blood physically cannot be taken lightly. And this morning I want you to realize the acceptance of the blood of Jesus Christ and believing that He died for your sin should not be taken lightly, because it is the life of the Spirit. It is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're going to sing another song, and I want you just to think about it. I want you to listen to this song as they come right now, and then we're going to have Children's Church, they want to participate in communion also. So they're going to come over in a few minutes and join us. And then we'll have the ushers dismiss you. But I want you to listen to this song as they come right now to share with us. Thank you.
Counselor, comforter, keeper.
Children's Church is coming in to share with us and give them a minute. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 says this, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup." It talks about taking the cup unworthy, and none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy except through Jesus Christ. His righteousness is what makes us worthy. If you're here this morning and there's something in your life that leaven is there that's giving you problems, I'd like for Chris to get us a song of invitation. I'd like for the ushers to get into place as we're doing this. But if you're here this morning and there's something in your life you just want to come and pray about, while we sing this song, I invite you to come. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves that you might be worthy to eat and drink of this communion.
Page 241, 241.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Will be dismissing you by row, and you come around to get your elements. And but our communion is open communion. If you're born again and have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you feel free to come and share in this communion. If you're not a Christian, there's still plenty of time. You can accept Him this morning and participate in this. So, as the ushers will dismiss you from the back to come around, you think about what we're doing this morning. One of the greatest privileges in being a pastor is getting to sit up here and watch you all come and get your communion. You're coming as a family. You're coming as a church family. And it's such a blessing to know that, you know, we're in this together and because of what Christ done, we can remember this today. So they'll dismiss you by row. Chris, you have a song?
Double place.
Okay.
One day near the city of Jerusalem, Father sadly looked into the eyes of his children. He said, "The time for sacrifice has come. Our sins must be covered, our wrongs must be atoned." The younger one said, "I don't why our sins can't be forgiven without the killing of my lamb." The father took the young child by the hand.
grace will be completed. Oh, my child, there will come a day. One day in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He knew the plan of God would have to be, and in just a few short hours he would die on Calvary. His humanity cried more than any other way. His divinity rose up and said, this price I'll have to pay. And just before the Father turned away, he said, there will come a day. Your defeat will turn to victory, for the cross that you carry bears the weight of all the world. There will come a day when the blood stains in your hands declare the hope of every man.
Oh, my child, day that we live among sin's awful curse, the evidence of darkness seems to only get much worse. We cry to God in anguish, Lord, how long will you allow this evil world to just go on?
Has everyone been served that wishes to participate? In the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, they were gathered in the upper room. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it. Steve, pray the blessing on the bread, please.
Pray, Lord, that each and every soul in here knows the value of this thing that we're doing on blessed us that we're about to do. Have us all to take to our hearts, we pray.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. He took the bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks. Todd, would you pray the prayer of thanks for the cup, please? Todd, go ahead, buddy. Bless you.
Father in heaven, Lord Jesus. Lord, I don't know about everybody else. I feel so unworthy.
Bless you, Father.
Bless you, buddy.
Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for your long suffering. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that you love me enough. Lord, that you give your own son.
Yes.
Lord, you know way down through time that Todd couldn't make it to heaven, Lord, by the law. Lord, you knew this was going to take the precious blood of your son Jesus, Lord, to pay my sin. Father, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm so unworthy, but I'm grateful. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'll bless each home that's represented here today. Lord, you know the needs. Lord, you know the hurts. You know the pains of each one of us. Lord, you know the suffering. I ask for your forgiveness, Lord. I pray, Father, Lord, that you'll just have your way. Have your way in our lives, Father, in church, out of church, wherever we're at. Help us to be a light, not a bit of stumbling block. Father, we thank you, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And the scripture says here, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So as Chris gets us a hymn to sing, I'm going to ask the ushers, if you would, to gather the cups from everyone. But everyone join together, or maybe Chris has a song, whatever it might be right now. Let's all stand, if you would.
God searched for a limit to his love. What should he keep and what should he give up to pay sin's awful price for such a worthless one as I? To rescue me, just how far would he go? All the way he came, all the way for me, all the way from heaven's throne to Calvary, leaving me just one little step to take. If I believe, then he would take me all the way. I think about that city he's prepared. When I arrive, I'll know who placed me there. For my efforts fall so short of the glory of the Lord. He knew they would, so he came on. Calvary, leaving me I believe so he will take me. I believe so he will take me all the
scripture that says, what have we seen here today? What have we felt here today? What we've seen and felt and thought about, let's take it in our hearts as we go out into the world, that we can continue to share his gospel with those that we come in contact. I'm just going to say good day, God bless you, and come back tonight.
Stretched out wide, barely hanging on to life, left to suffer on. You came for all mankind to bridge the great divide, and somehow ended.